The will of God is, the starting place is what? The Word of God. I get into the Bible and I begin to see it. This morning I want to share with you about His will and my willingness. His will and my willingness. Both of these things are necessary if we're going to fulfill the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. And I want to tell you something. Listen, make sure that you understand this about the will of God. That is, that He does have a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen? He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're not just, you know, some driftwood, you know, on the sea of life going to and fro by every current and eddy, and when the tide's high and then it goes out and you get, you know, you're stranded there on the beach. No, listen, God has a plan and a purpose. Amen? And if we flow with the Spirit of God, the river of God, we will be in that channel where the will of God for our life is fulfilled. And it will not be happenstance. It will not be, you know, that we're living our life, quote unquote, by luck or by chance, as the world says, but we're living it in the will of God. Amen? So I want to talk about His will and my willingness. Let's say that together. His will and my willingness. Isaiah 1, verse 17, he says, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Verse 19, here's where we want to center up on. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Now notice here we see that what is the will of God, first of all, that you eat the best of the land? It cannot be denied. It. We just read it right out of God's Word. It's right there in black and white for all to read, for all to see. It doesn't need any explanation. He said you'll eat the best of the land. Amen? Well, I want God's best, don't you? I want God's best, whatever it is. You know, I'm not going to be part of those naysayers or those, you know, those pseudo-religious people that want to say, well, now God's best is that you be broke, busted, and disgusted in life. That is not what God has for me. That's not what God has for you. God says, if you be willing and obedient, this is why I say His will and my willingness is so important, because we're going to find out, unless I am willing, I cannot access His will. I have to be willing. See, it's not enough to just know that God wants everybody saved. I have to be willing to go. Somebody has to be willing to go and proclaim it to them. Isn't that true? It's not enough just for me to know God's will, that He wants me to have His best. I've got to be willing enough to reach out with the hand of faith in obedience and faith to God to walk out that plan, to walk in that will, and then what? I begin to what? Eat the good of the land. I eat God's best. So it starts with this, know God's will. He wants you to have the best. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. I'm not there yet. Well, listen, a lot of us are in that category. We're not there yet. But I want to tell you what, it starts with knowing what His will is. He wants you to have the best. So what are we to aim for? What is our target, if you will, that we're going to be shooting for? It's going to be for God's best. Isn't that right? You know, when I was in college, in university, I never did, like I've shared this with you before, but I never did study and shoot for a D. If I could just get by. Man, help me hit that 72. You know, and that day 70, because anything below that, it's changed now, I guess. But you know, I was shooting what? For the 100. I wanted the best. I studied for the best. I approached it for the best. Now, I didn't always hit it, but I got close a whole lot of times. Amen? In my university, where I went, a 3.0 was a perfect grade. I had a 2.9. That's pretty close, ain't it? That's pretty doggone close. So I got close a lot of times, didn't I? I didn't always hit it, but I got pretty close. And so here's the thing. When I pursue God, what is it I'm after? I'm after, if you will, that 3.0. I'm after God's best. And the first thing to understand is I have got to understand the will of God, and then I've got to understand my willingness. Let me share real quickly three things, major attributes concerning God's will. Now, we said, where are we going to find God's will? We don't have to go up in heaven. We don't have to have an angel come down or any of those things. We've got it right here. It's called the Bible, isn't it? That's God's word. God's word is his will. God doesn't say one thing in here, and then he's going to come down and say something different to you. He's not going to say one thing in here, and then he's going to lead you in a different way. Are you listening? So here's the thing. Before you get a visitation from the angel, you need to visit this book. Isn't that right? You know, we're full of gospel. And I believe in that. I do. I believe that God will send it as his angel. You know, people see angels. Angels come, do the bidding of God. Hey, man, you could see an angel. An angel could bring a word of knowledge to you, a word of wisdom to you. I mean, you could have a vision, all those kind of things. But before all that, we better make sure that we visit right here first. Visit the book. Hey, man, it's three things about his will. The first one is, it's irrevocable. What does that mean? That means that he will not take back what he has said. You know the story in Jeremiah 29. In Jeremiah 29, a lot of times we don't give the background to this scripture, though. We read, you know, where it says, God says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Did you know he was speaking that to people that had just gone through the ravages of war, had been taken POWs and forcibly taken back as prisoners of war to a foreign land? Now, boy, that's a word to hear, isn't it? See, we think, boy, I'm telling you what, now, you know, when everything gets just right in my life, you know, boy, I'm telling you, I know I'm right on the beam then. I must be in the will of God because everything's great. But listen, in the midst of all of their, don't you know there was some sorrow? Because I guarantee you, you ever seen a war where nobody got killed? You know, not only were they taken out away from their land, into a strange culture, a strange language, they had lost family members, all kind of things were bad in their life. Things were not good. And God says, listen to me. He says, I know the thoughts I'm thinking toward you. Let me ask you this morning, is things kind of bad in your life a little bit? Maybe things are not just going just perfect for you. Do you think that means that God did that to you? So, and now he's thinking mean thoughts about you. God has forgotten you. No, listen, whatever God has said, he said, if you be willing and obedient, you're going to be eat the best, eat the good of the land, the best of the land. So that word, that promise, part of God's will is it's irrevocable. He will not take it back. Now, see, our mind wants to look around us at our circumstance and say, wait a minute, maybe God's changed his will. Maybe that really isn't the will of God. You know, all of our mind wants to tell us that. That's why what? We got to go back to the will. It's irrevocable. Circumstances can't negate it. Doubting people can't negate it. Amen. The devil can't negate it. The economy can't negate it. It is irrevocable. That's the first thing you need to get it settled. It's an irrevocable will. The second thing that we need to understand is that it is an unchangeable will. Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Well, if God doesn't change, then his will doesn't change. This is the greatness of God in perfection. Because he's perfect, there's no area for improvement. Isn't that right? Perfection, by definition, excludes any improvement. And the only reason we need to change is not just to change. We change because what? We need to grow. We grow more like him. We grow in understanding and wisdom concerning him and his will. But God is perfect. God is perfect. He doesn't need any improvement. He's perfect. The Bible says all of his works are known from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. He already knows everything. It's already laid out. It's already planned. It's already purposed. And so, therefore, he is unchangeable. His will is unchangeable. He doesn't have to look and say, well, golly, man, this is the 21st century. I better get up to speed. We better rewrite this book. No, he doesn't need to rewrite it. Amen. Maybe, you know, change it out of Elizabethan so that we can all read it. You know, unless that's your language of choice. But here's the thing. He is unchangeable. Think about that. God's will for you is unchangeable. Has God shown you something from this book? Has God revealed His will to you from this book? Have you been in times of prayer and studying this book and the Spirit of God begin to show you things and reveal God's will to you? That is unchangeable. You say, yeah, but I'm 10 years older. It's unchangeable. Yeah, but this has happened and that has happened. It's unchangeable. We're talking about His will and my willingness. His will and my willingness. And see, we've got to so establish it in our hearts and minds concerning His will, these things. It's irrevocable and it's unchangeable. He will not change. He does not have to change. Amen? You think this economy caught God by surprise? Listen, before God ever created the universe, He saw it. Are you listening to me? Amen. He knew you need to pay the rent.
That's right.
10 billion years ago, He knew you was going to need to pay the rent. He's unchangeable. I want you to think about that. He says He's unchangeable. Look over in Titus. Titus 3. First, 2 Timothy and Titus. Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now I want you to notice, He says He has poured it out, His grace upon us generously. What does this mean? That God has purpose, part of His will, He has purpose, is that He is going to demonstrate to us His grace and His mercy in a generous fashion. Now, what does that mean? That means that His will is connected to His grace, or His grace is connected to His will. And His grace is really just a means whereby His will can be expressed to you and I. See, you can't earn the will of God. Are you listening? You can't earn the blessings of God. You can't earn the promises of God. It is by His grace that His will has come to us, and that is something that will not change. A billion years from now, God's grace will be the same. Therefore, His will be the same. Amen? It will not change. It will not. There is no flux. There is no high tide of God's grace and a low tide of God's grace. It's always in fullness to those who will come to Him. So it's unchangeable. It's an unchangeable will. It's an irrevocable will. Now notice this. It is also a predetermined will. Look in Romans 8. Let's turn over there. It's predetermined. What do I mean by that? God has already seen your life, and God has already made provision in His grace and through His will for your life. Hello? Amen? Amen. Now, see, right now we're talking about what? His will. But we're going to be talking about in a minute about what? My willingness. See, it takes both. See, if you stay for only half this sermon and you get this part, you're going to be misled. Because you're going to think, hot dog, God has got it all set up. That's true. But it doesn't just fall on you like a ripe apple off a tree. Because that's where my willingness comes in. Because the Bible says over and over, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever will believe. So our will, my will has a part to it. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. It is predetermined. Romans 8 and verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Notice He said, those whom He foreknew, He predestined. Now, God foreknew, what does that mean? That means that God, who is outside of time, how many of you know God is transcendent? He is transcendent. That means that what? He not only is working within the universe, but He is apart from the universe. Are you listening? You say, how does that? I don't understand. I don't either. But He's transcendent. And so that also means what? That he is not subject. He lives outside of time. He operates in time, but he lives outside of time. In other words, he's not bound by time. That's why he sees everything from the beginning to the end, and the end to the end, the beginning to the end, and the end to the beginning. So he sees everything. See, we're seeing a snapshot. Are you listening? Even in your life. See, you're seeing, today is a snapshot of your life. And see, what the enemy likes to tell you is, this snapshot is your life. This is it. This is it. This is your life. This is it. This is as good as it. Welcome to your life. This is it. This is your life. That's what the enemy wants to tell us. But we need to understand, he said, whom God foreknew. What does that mean? That from a man's point of view, God looked down through what we call time, and he saw you. Are you listening? He saw you. And he foreknew you. He knew what you were going to do. He knew you were going to what? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't determine that some would and some wouldn't. You've got a free will. But he knows who will and who won't. Are you listening? You ever seen anybody, maybe even your own children, you seen them make, you knew they were making a bad decision? Never. Oh, man. Or a close friend or somebody. And, oh, man, you wanted to jump in there and fix it. Oh, didn't you? Especially if you're a parent. You know, but you know, there's a point where kids are that best friend. They reach a certain place where what? They've got to make their own decision, don't they? And see, that's what we're talking about with foreknowledge. God looked down and he saw some that would and some that didn't. But, you know, just because you saw them making a decision you knew wasn't a wise or a good decision, that didn't mean that you caused it to happen. That didn't mean that you delighted in it, that you wanted that to happen. But what? They're a free moral agent, aren't they? They can make that decision. That's what we're talking about in foreknowledge. But he said, now those that did receive him, see, once you receive Jesus and you enter into the kingdom of God and the family of God, then he said, then there comes a predestination for those. And he said, part of that predestination is what? We're going to be brought into the same image of in fullness as his son, Jesus Christ. So you think about this. God's got a predestined, if you're a believer, God's got a predestined will. And listen, that will, once you enter into that aspect of God's will, there is nothing in heaven or earth or hell can change it. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what the economy does. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what the devil does. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what the atheists, the agnostics, and all the talking heads say. I don't care. It doesn't change one thing. I've entered into the predestined will of God as a child of God, and it's settled in my life. My future is secure. Hallelujah. Amen. My future's not tied to the stock market. It's not tied to the bond market. It's not tied to the interest rates. They're up, I'm up. They're down, I'm down. My investments are doing good, I'm happy. My investments have lost, I'm sad. See, understand the will of God. Isn't that right? So that's the first point, is the will of God. This is God's will. If you're not sure, get in this book called the Bible. Get into it. Get into it. The Holy Spirit will show you. God will teach you. But you've got to get into the book. Don't moan and groan that you don't know the will of God when you've got a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, see me. I'll get you one before you leave the premises. Absolutely. But get, so the first thing is, we have to know what is his will. What is God's will? Well, we see the general will of God we read from Isaiah. He said, I want you to eat the good of the land. That's the umbrella will of God. He said, I want you to eat the good of the land. Now we need to get into the book and find out what all does that mean. Amen? Well, first of all, we know this. God's not willing that any should perish spiritually. Isn't that right? So God wants men to what? To be born again, to be saved, to have their sins forgiven by putting their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice, his resurrection at Calvary. He is the Savior. So that's the first thing God wants. God wants you to be healed in your body. He wants you to be well in your body. He wants your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions to become whole and sound and in harmony with His kingdom and His peace and His joy. All of these things, we need to find out what the will of God is. But once we do that, then we have to understand my willingness is a part of it. Remember, I said His will is accessed by my willingness. Turn over to a scripture probably we all know, but let's read it, Deuteronomy 30. God is speaking to the children of Israel. Verse 19, He said, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses." Now that's, all right, there's the will. Now notice He said, "Now you choose life." Isn't God good? He says, "Now here's what the landscape is. There's life and death, there's blessing and cursing. Now let me give you a hint. Choose life." Remember I shared with you when our kids were little, we used to do the Easter head hunt thing, and we'd hide them. You know, we'd have these bright colored eggs, and we'd go out. We had this big patio. We'd just go out on the patio, you know, and put a red egg right there out on the, you know. And if they didn't see it, you know, I'd roll it over toward them. Why? I wasn't hiding the eggs from them. It was for them. I wanted to make sure they got it. And this is kind of like God saying, "Now listen, here's life, here's death, here's blessing, here's cursing. Now, roll it over to blessing. Choose blessing. Get the blessing. Go after the blessing." But here's the thing. See, all God could do was, you know, kind of roll the egg over us and said, but I have to choose it. That's where, what? I have to be what? Willing. I have to be willing. I have to be willing. And so that's the part we want to look at is what? Our willing. My willingness, here it is, it begins with this. It begins with a heart attitude. Willingness starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Real quickly, turn over to Hebrews 3. It's great that we know that all the blessings, promises in Christ Jesus are yes and amen. But there is my part, the willingness. The thing that robbed the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, the thing that robbed them was this very aspect. God revealed Himself, He revealed His will, but their problem was they could not and would not, let me change that, not could not, they would not be willing. They were not willing. See, they were not willing to believe God. They were not willing to trust God's will. They were not willing to put themselves in a position so that the will of God could become real and vital in their lives. And there's a whole lot of Christians like this. They're like the prophets who stood afar off and watched, you know, Elijah and Elisha. Man, they were stood afar off. They saw the river dry up. They saw the chariot come down. They saw that, but they were afar off. Listen, I don't want to be afar off from God's will. Man, I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to be where the chariot comes down. I want to be where the fire is burning. I want to be right there in the middle of it. Amen? Yes. Hebrews 3. We're going to read several different verses, kind of skip around. Verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, "Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tempted me and tried me for 40 years. That is why I was angry with that generation and said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my way. So I declared in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." That's just another way of God saying they'll never enter into my will. God's will was for them what? Come out of Egypt, pass through the desert, go into the promised land. Nowhere in there can you ever see anything that God, at the beginning of this journey, where God ever inferred or said that 40 years was a part of His plan. Their unwillingness began, and here's a lesson we need to learn. If our hearts are not willing, willing to embrace God's will, willing to believe God's word, willing to trust God. See, what happens is our unwillingness can what? It can begin to stretch out, okay, that timeline of God's will for my life. Are you listening? Because why did they wander for 40 years? Why did they go around in a circle for 40? Why did they finally die and never entered into God's best for them? Because what? They were what? Not willing. One translation says they could not be persuaded. They could not be persuaded. Jump over to verse 18 there. And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see they were not able to enter in because of what? Their unbelief or unpersuadableness. In other words, they couldn't get their will aligned with the revealed will of God. It was a heart issue. It was a heart issue. And I want to tell you, all of our issues as we follow the Lord, all of the issues have their root cause, whether we enjoy God's best or whether we are not enjoying God's best, they have their root cause in that heart attitude. Am I willing? Am I willing? Now, here's the thing. When everything is going your way, oh, hallelujah. Yes, sirree, Bob. I'll be in church. I'll pick up my Bible and read. Yes, sirree, Bob. I'll jump and shout at the right time. But I want to tell you what. What about when things aren't going just right? What when everything looks like it is opposite God's revealed will, opposite of God's promises in your life? When it looks like everything's going wrong, then that is what. See, God says, I brought you through the wilderness, what? To prove you. To prove what? Your willingness. Your willingness. We call people who jump, when something's got momentum, we call them, jumping on the bandwagon. We got a whole lot of Christians that are that way. They're Christian bandwagoners, wagoneers or whatever. They jump on the wagon. When it's good, when everything's good, that's true. Man, God will start moving in a church or somewhere, and all of a sudden, man, people hear about it, and they start all showing up. But let them go through a difficult time. Let it be a testing and trying time. And you know what? You'll find all those people all of a sudden, God's called me over here. Now God's called me over here. I think sometimes God must be schizophrenic. He can't make up his mind where you're supposed to be. Come on. I've gone to meddling now, haven't I? So my willingness, what? Begins with a right heart attitude. I got to have faith. I got to have trust. I can't start doubting God's will and God's purpose and God's goodness toward me when everything starts going bad. When circumstances turn against me. When things are a little difficult or a lot difficult. I've got to have it settled. My heart is going to be right before God. I'm going to keep faith built in God. I'm going to keep trust built in God. The second thing is my will has to be one, I've just mentioned, an unswerving trust in tough times. Turn over to, you're right there close, James chapter 1. As I said before, see, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon. Isn't that right? God starts moving somewhere, everybody wants to be there. Amen? Everybody wants to go into the land of milk and honey. They're just waiting for that, that freeway to be built, through the wilderness. Let me know when that freeway's been built through the wilderness there. Hallelujah, and I'll be a candidate. But, here's the thing. We all have those areas of wilderness we're going to have to walk through as we pursue the will of God. Because God's going to try our heart just as he tried theirs. Are you listening? And by trying, I mean proving. Not trying to overthrow you, trying to beat you down, but to prove your willingness. To prove that you're willing. That you're committed to him and to his kingdom. You're not some fair-weather Christian. You're not just going to hop on the bandwagon when everything's going great. But as soon as things begin to turn and go a little different, all of a sudden you lose your joy, you lose your peace, you lose your praise. Come on. James 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Oh, buddy. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So our willingness, okay, is a heart issue. It has to be there. But then that willingness, what? It's going to pass through some proving time. Proving time. God's not going to hand the keys to the kingdom to you until you're proven. All right, listen, you got to prove yourself. You got to prove yourself that you will what? You're going to be what? Faithful. It doesn't matter. Good times, bad times, lean times, fat times, hard times, easy times, glorious times, dry times. It doesn't matter. Bless God, here I am, God. I'm in. I'm in for the long haul. My willingness is irrevocably attached to your will. Amen. Your will has not changed. Your will has been determined for me, and I will see it accomplished in my life. Amen. And see, it's the tough time. Listen, you know when you grow? In the tough times. Because that's when you grow. Isn't that right? You don't grow when you're on vacation, usually. much as we all like vacation. Nothing wrong with vacation. But you can't live in vacation, can you? You can't live in the vacation mode. God has made us, that we are to grow. And as we go through these times, there is that testing, not only of God's will, proving God's will, but that testing and proving what? Of my willingness. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Now, everybody wants the good of the land, but not everybody is willing to do what it takes to get there. So we're unswavering in our trust. Then thirdly, real quickly, we're unmovable and immovable in our faith. Romans 4, you know the story there of Abraham. It says that Abraham was given a promise of God, and a mere 25 years later, just the batting of the eyes, while he was still a spring chicken at 99, God brought it to pass. 25 years. But if you read over there, it says that Abraham, he never lost his confidence in God or in God's will and promise for his life. Yet he had opportunity to. He was tempted to. If you don't believe that, ask Ishmael. Amen. You see, our walking out the will of God, I've shared this with you before, but, walking out the will of God is not just some linear thing. Just, it's like I told you, I had a good friend of mine that he's a pilot. And when you fly a plane, he said, it doesn't just fly through the air like that. He says, you're constantly making these little adjustments, because of wind, currents. We got this idea that the Christian life just smooth sailing, buddy. No, man, there's some downdrafts. It gets bumpy sometimes. Sometimes you got pretty, seem like smooth, but it's all of that, isn't it? And same thing with Abraham. And see, when the downdraft came, he didn't stop believing. When it got bumpy, he didn't stop believing. When it looked like, man, is this journey ever going to get there? He didn't stop believing. It says, as a matter of fact, he said that time of trying and proving, it says his faith got stronger. Listen, the problems that have come against your life, they're not making you weaker. They're making you stronger. If you hold fast to your faith in God's will. God's will, my willingness. That's what brings these two things together. And we have to have both of them. So it has to be an unswavering or an unmovable faith. And then finally, unswerving in obedience. Unswerving in obedience. In other words, you know, I don't just obey when it's convenient. I don't just obey when it's I feel like it. Amen. Kind of like the, you know, the story, you know, the wife came in to wake up her husband and said, you need to get up. We got to get to church. Oh, I don't want to. I ain't going to go to church today. You better get up. You got to go to church. I don't want to. Give me one good reason why I got to go to church. She said, because you're the pastor. See, y'all think, you think, Pastor, you think we don't ever feel like not coming to church? We're just up there in that ivory tower somewhere. Come down on Sunday, and then when we go out these doors, we're caught back up. Hallelujah. Don't have a ring around my bathtub either. Nice. No, we get these funny ideas, don't we? No, listen, just because you feel a certain way, that doesn't mean anything. That just means you had a feeling. That just means you're human. That's all that means. Don't let that feeling determine what you're going to do. What? I will obey God. I will do the right thing. I will have trust in God. I will do what He says at all times. I just will. You say, you ever feel like not doing it? Yeah. Come on, can we be real? We're not kidding anybody but ourselves anyway. Isn't that right? But the Bible says what? We live by faith and not by that. So what do we talk about today? His will and my willingness. This is a very simple truth, but I want to tell you what. You better get a hold of it. Because it's important. We need to know what His will is. But we also got to understand this. There's got to be a willingness on our part. There's got to be a willingness on our part. You know? I remember, you know, back to my illustration. When I was in school, you know, those professors didn't give me those grades. There was a part I had to, now they did their part. They taught and so forth and all that. But you know what? There was a part I had to do too. Isn't that right? And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about earning something, but we are talking about putting ourselves in position to receive from God's will. My willingness, your willingness, accesses the will of God. If you be willing and obedient, what? You will eat the good of the land or God's best. So God wants you to have His best. I want God's best. Do you want God's best? So here's the thing. How do I strengthen my will? Number one, what is the Word? The Bible. The more I read, meditate, study God's Word, build that into me, the stronger my will gets. Secondly is this thing of obedience. The more I obey, the more my will is strengthened to obey. And the converse is true. I can get into this cycle of disobedience, of just giving in to my flesh and giving in to my feelings, and the next thing you know, my will is bent toward that. Are you listening? So you got to strengthen your will toward what? Godliness in the will of God, and not toward your feelings and the flesh and the world. So here's the thing. The more I make what right choices, the stronger my will gets that way. But the more I make bad choices, or really just kind of allow those choices to kind of make me, then what it seems, this is why I've talked to people, Pastor, it's so hard. That's because you've bent your will, you've trained your will toward what? The dark side, so to speak, toward the flesh and the world. You've let your will go that way. But what you can do, just like you let your will go that way, you can grab hold of it and say, okay, now I'm going to set my will toward what? Righteousness. Toward righteousness. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what God says. Instead of when I'm tempted to doubt, I'm going to believe. When I'm tempted to fear, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust. I'm going to love. I'm going to walk in purity. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in what? The will of God. If you be willing and obedient, then you're going to eat God's best. God wants you to have His best. And it's up to you to make that choice. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads just for a moment?